All right, how are you guys doing? How's that lunch? Is it good? Anyone want to give me a bite? You guys having a good time so far? Learning a lot? Ooh, that light's bright. Good deal. How many were in the session with me this morning? Okay, awesome. Very good. Well, we're going to repeat the same exact knob teasing. I think there's a little bit of a similarity here, but one of the things that we said earlier, so that way you don't have to try to pull out your phone, take pictures of the slides. If you just text the word FAST to 33777, my team will send you a link or a copy of the slides for you to look at. Yes, sir. It's 33777. No, just that one time, yeah. This headpiece does not want to stay on. I might switch over. Is it possible to switch over to this? Yeah, I'm going to do that. Everyone get that? All right. So just a quick overview of why single-family homes. I truly believe that the single-family should be the bedrock of everybody's portfolio. The problem and the reason I understand why a lot of people don't is because they don't want to invest in an active format. They like the returns that an active investor gets, but they don't want to put in that time, the energy, and the effort. And the whole idea with Freaky Fast is to create a true passive investment vehicle for investors. We've all heard the gurus talk about it. We've all read the books, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. We've all been to the conferences, how real estate is a passive investment. And the reality is it's actually a very active investment. It's active for somebody. Somebody's got to identify the asset. Somebody's got to evaluate that asset. Somebody's got to build out scopes of work and find the funding and deal with the contractors and order the materials. And eventually when that's done, do inspections and start renting out that property, leasing that property, getting it cash flowing, dealing with tenants. It's a very active role. I think one of the biggest things that has hurt some real estate investors is they watch HGTV and they're like, oh yeah, I could do that. And then they get in, and it's like, holy crap, it's a lot more complex. And again, if that's what you want to do for like your active work, by all means, I'm all for it. But at some point, the goal for real estate is to get into the passive lane, to be able to sit in the passive seat, because you want that money working for you. And you want to buy back your time. You want to be using your time for other things, whether it's family or traveling or giving back to charity or ministry or whatever the case. Maybe you have a hobby and you want that time freedom. You want the real estate working for you. The problem is for somebody, it's still active. So the idea with Freaky Fast is we want to provide true passive investments. We're doing all the heavy lifting, and you get to sit in the passive seat but take advantage of being a partner and an active owner. We'll talk about the market fundamentals, Freaky Fast strategy, and building generational wealth. What's interesting to me is so many people are focusing in a single family. You've all heard of the saying, follow the money, right? Well, it's interesting how many heavy lifters in New York, the big investors and industry leaders, are pouring billions of dollars into the single family sector. And it's because a couple things. Number one, we are at a housing deficit. I'm sure we've all heard. Well, let me pause for just 1 second. I'm sorry. Let me ask you a question. How many of you are currently investing in real estate right now? Okay, awesome. How many of you have been doing this more than 3 years? Okay, so you guys are experts. So in some ways, some of the things I'm saying, you've probably heard a million times. But it's good to repeat it because we move so fast that sometimes we forget things. And here's just some basic facts to keep in mind as we navigate this weird economic time that we're living in. Number one, we're at a housing deficit, right? Depending on where you get your data from, I've seen as high or I've seen as low as 3 million homes. I've seen as high as 5.2 million homes. All good resources. We're at a massive deficit, mainly because of 2008, 2009, 2010, new construction came to a halt. So if we went balls to the walls crazy building new construction homes, it would take us 7 years to get caught up. And realistically, it's going to be hard for us to do that. So that in itself tells you that single family should be a place that you should be parking money because there is still a very high demand. There's just not enough inventory. I've said it probably a million times. We're experiencing one of the largest migrations in the history of the United States with the millennial generation moving into the single family sector. You know, the generations before the millennials always like to tease that, you know, millennials were living in their parents' basement or shared apartments, you know. Well, now they're moving in. But in addition to that, you got the Gen Z. They're actually moving into the single family sector even faster than the millennials. So you got this huge demand for these houses and just not enough demand to source those. So it's interesting when you see family offices, they're increasing their investment into this sector. Why single family remains superior? I'm a firm believer in investing in multiple avenues, multiple asset classes in real estate. You know, if you're in multifamily, great. If you're in storage units, great. If you're in commercial hospitality, fantastic. But don't stop investing in single family because you've upgraded and you've moved into, say, multifamily. You know, mainly for a couple reasons. One, right now, I do believe this is the best investment for generational wealth in today's climate. How many of you are in an apartment deal right now? Raise your hand. A couple of you. Okay, for those of you, how many of you would say, you know what, they've been somewhat of a struggle the last 12, 24 months? I've got investors who've invested in multifamily syndications that haven't received a distribution check in over 2 years. And it's because the cap rates have gone up, and there's just not enough cash flow now. And because cap rates have gone up, the value of these properties are coming down. So they're taking a massive hit. The reason single family is so great is because I could buy this house. It's going to be valued based off of the homes surrounding in a two-mile radius. And so that's what supports the value of that home. And that home will cash flow. I could put that house on a 30-year note. The cash flow will pay down that mortgage, and I'll still cash flow and still build up my equity. So single family is great for cash flow. It's also great for inflation hedge. I don't think I have the slide on this. But I shared it this morning. In 1983, the average median house price was $70,000, right? $70,000. Now, how many of you would buy a house right now for $70,000? Yeah, we all would, right? Well, in 2023, the value of that average median house was $350,000. I mean, that's a huge increase. It outpaced inflation. So as the value of the dollar keeps going down, the value of that property continues going up. Now, I will say I'm buying houses right now for $70,000. And I'm not buying them in necessarily horrible areas either. Right now, we got a package of deals, and I'll get into it here in a little bit, in St. Louis, that the average house price is about $78,000. It's just a really solid deal. Cash flows very, very well. So there's still opportunity in the single family sector to get those kind of deals, and you know that they're only going to go up in value, and they're going to cash flow. So outpacing the inflation hedge is another reason why single family is superior. So here's the SWOT, the single family investment framework. What's the strengths? Well, you got stable cash flow, and that, you know, as long as you got good tenants in there to pay rent. I guess some of the risk is maybe a tenant hits some difficulty and they're not able to pay rent. But the strengths, stable cash flow, tax advantages, the appreciation potential, the physical asset security. And then market opportunities under undersupplied housing market, rising rental demand, and favorable demographic trends. Wealth strategies, buy and hold, value add improvements. There's opportunities for 1031, deferring taxes, so forth. And then the risk, mitigation, professional management through due diligence, geographic diversification, and conservative leverage. So single family homes. Now, it's just some bullet points. I'll talk a little bit more about that here in just a second. So freaking fast, this is what we like to try to do, right? We are, it's interesting in there, the one gentleman said, right now the best way to get leads is mailers. You remember hearing him say that? We're sending out about 75,000 mailers a month right now in our company. Every time I see that ACH payment come out of my bank account, I breathe just a little bit. But $75,000 mailers a month, and we're sending them to different markets. And we are targeting houses that are distressed, and you guys know the game, you've been doing this for a while, but our buy boxes, we're buying between 40, 60 cents on the dollar. And then the rehab cost and the purchase price all in at 80% of the market value, giving a 20% equity out of the gate, and we're doing the BRRRR method. So we get it rented, get it refinanced, and then we repeat the cycle over again. So what we are providing investors are funds for single family to where they could take some capital and put that aside, invest it in the fund, and let it go to work for them without them having to put too much effort, emphasis, or time in actually managing that money. That money is going to work and creating more money for them. So we're buying these, like I said, and being all in at 80%, given the 20% appreciation right out the gate. If I were to tell you, hey, you can invest in blank, blank stock, and it's going to go up in 90 to 120 days, maybe 6 months, 20% guaranteed, how many of you would do that deal, right? Yeah, Warren Buffett calls you up and says, hey, I got the perfect deal of a lifetime. You should be investing. It's going to go up 20%. Well, you know, there's no guarantee in life, but the one positive thing is you can pay attention to numbers, and numbers will tell you. So when you underwrite these deals and you see that there's homes selling within a two-mile radius within 6 months, you can get an idea of what that house is going to appraise for, those numbers. And then if you're buying it well below the market value and rehabbing it, getting it up to 80%, you're increasing that 20% equity just right out of the gate. Cash distributions, anywhere between 8 to 10% in when you have equity in your receiving rental income. We also have a debt fund that investors can put money in and lend money to us, and that's paying around 16% plus. So looking at investor focus, just trying to help investors find their need, find where they're at, and help them grow. So I'm going to play a game. I'm going to kind of deviate just a little bit from here. Can I get one volunteer? Who would like to volunteer? Nobody would like to volunteer. All right, ma'am, I will take you. Can you come up here for just a second? My staff in the back, they're stressing out because I'm deviating from the plan. They're like, what the heck? All right, you can have a seat. Your name?
Susan.
Susan. And where are you from, Susan?
Canton, Ohio.
Are you an Ohio State Buckeye fan?
I guess.
Okay, that's a good answer. OH, by the way. Thank you. Yes, yes. All right. Now, I'm going to ask you two or three personal questions. And if you don't want to answer truthfully, that's okay. Just make up some things, and we'll still play a game, okay? Okay. Do you work actively right now?
Yes.
Okay. Are you an employee or are you a business owner?
Both.
Okay. Fantastic. And is this outside of real estate?
One of them is, yes.
Okay. And do you have an IRA or 401k with that company?
Not with that company.
Do you have an IRA or 401k? Okay. Now, what would your investment goal be? Like, do you have like an outline or a plan of what you want your investments to do for you?
I have a real estate goal, but I don't really have a goal for my IRA yet.
Okay. So do you have a number that you need in your mind for you to retire and to be able to not only survive retirement, but actually thrive in retirement?
Like a number per month or in addition to what I have now or total?
Well, you're not retired yet, right? So when you retire, how much money would you like to have set aside?
I have some income that I don't have to go to a job for. So do I include that or just over and above that? I guess maybe $6,000.
$6,000 a month is what you would need to thrive in retirement.
Maybe 75.
75, okay. How many of you would say, you know, I'm kind of find myself in that ballpark, right? I wouldn't mind having that. Okay, so the question then is, how are you going to do that? Now, you said you've got some rental properties, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, do you have, how much time and energy are you putting into those rental properties of your own?
Not a lot. I have great tenants that pay their rent and don't call a lot, so.
Okay. All right. Awesome. So here's what because one of the things that they wanted us to talk about is why single families build retirement and how to multiply that retirement. Okay. You guys following us so far? All right. Awesome. So you have your goal of $7,500 a month. Now, you can make this up if you don't want to share personal information, but if you are okay with it, that's fine. How much are those rental properties bringing in monthly right now?
Are they bringing in, or how much do I get to spend of it?
What's your net?
I actually don't know that right off the top of my head, so let's say 2,000.
2,000. So how many properties?
I have 8.
8 properties, and so your net after that 8 properties is 2,000.
Yeah,
and that's fine. So the reason for this strategy or this exercise is as we are starting to prepare for retirement, and I appreciate you know, helping and volunteering and putting you on the spot. The idea is, how can we maximize this? How can we build this, and how can we grow this without taking super risk, but at the same time taking some risk, and then how can we get it to grow and to compound? So, for example, you have money in your IRA right now?
Yes.
Okay, and how are you investing that money in your IRA?
I actually haven't yet. I just got a self-directed IRA, and I'm networking here to try to get some ideas of what to do with the money that I put in there.
Okay, perfect. So I'm going to now talk to you as if you're just an investor who reached out to Freaky Fast, okay? So one of the strategies is twofold. So let's just say you have 100 grand in your IRA, okay? And I'm assuming it's a traditional IRA? Okay. Do you, with your own real estate, do you take any depreciation, take any losses?
Yes.
Okay. How much per year? If you were to accelerate, do you know that? Okay, no worries. So she's got $100,000. She's now in an IRA that's not investing. It's just sitting. So the idea is we want to now get that $100,000 deployed, get that working. How many of you are using self-direct IRAs to invest right now? Okay, perfect. So, sir, can I call on you? Right here? Can I call on you for a second? Yes, sir. Absolutely. All right. I want to ask you, what are you using your self IRA money for? What are you investing in?
Right now, number one, buy and holds. Number two, back up some flips.
Okay. Do you do any private lending?
No.
No? Are you opposed to doing private lending?
Yes.
Okay. And see, there some people have different risk. Yeah, some people have different risk tolerance. So somebody like yourself, you go like, okay, I got $100,000 that is in my IRA. I need to invest it. So then my question would be, okay, what is your goals? Are you trying to add extra cash flow to replace income? Or are you trying to build equity growth so that money continues going? Here's one of the biggest problems. Mark, good to see you, my friend. One of the biggest problems that investors are running into right now retirees are running into is they're afraid that they don't have enough money to make it through their retirement. I've read an article from CNN. They interviewed different retirees. One person had $3 million in a retirement account, and he was afraid that he wasn't going to make it. Why? Because people are living much longer. Medical cost is much higher. The cost of living is much higher, and the value of that dollar is coming down. So you could be prepared all you want. You can have it and still be concerned that you're not going to have enough money to make it, you know, the next 20, 30 years. You might be 65, 70, getting ready to retire, but you know Aunt Sally's 95 and your grandma was 95, and there's a good chance you're going to be 95, and the value of that dollar is just continuing to climb down. So how do I grow my retirement account in addition to still making that $7,500 a month so that you can live? So what we like to talk and advise investors is you need multiple buckets. Okay, you need a bucket that's bringing in cash flow, that's flowing. So a great way to do that is single family homes. Also, I need to invest some money that's going to grow, that's going to compound. So this gentleman back here said he likes to do some fix and flips. Now, you have to be really careful doing fix and flips with your IRA because you can't technically invest money in your own deal. And there's some loopholes, but there's still different. There's a lot of regulations in using qualified money to do investments yourself or rehabs yourself. However, if you invested with a company like us, who we're buying these distressed homes, rehabbing these homes, and building appreciation on these homes, you can invest through your IRA and that continue to grow. So if you were to invest $100,000 into one of our funds, pays out 8% for the year, you know, low conservative numbers. So now you just made, I'll do that math real quick. Too tired here. So you put $100,000 in, you just made $8,000 for the year, but that value went up $20,000. So you're building cash flow to live off of, but you're also building equity growth. And the idea then is, how do I continue building that, maximizing that, compounding that? And that's the advantage of single family and using this strategy. So I do appreciate your help, and I hope that kind of gives you an idea of what you should be doing to evaluate. Yeah, give her a hand. Evaluate your portfolio. So here's the thing. Reverse engineer. What's your goal? And figure out what you need to do to start accomplishing that goal. So if she wants to make $7,500 a month, then she needs to figure out, okay, if I'm just going to put all my energy in my own single families, this is how much money I need to cash flow per house to hit this. And this is how many homes I'm going to need to do this. And then start reversing backwards. However, that's going to take a lot of work. It's going to become a job. So one of the things is, how do I take this from being active and going passive? So that's kind of what our strategy is at Freaky Fast, providing different market researches. One of the things that we like to do is we like to be in different markets. We're in 8 states right now, and we've got team members in each state. But what's nice is when maybe one market takes a little bit of a hit, you've got other markets supporting and upholding that investment and allowing you to continue to grow and to build. This is an interesting graph. You know, you find all different kinds of data for different things, but just the numbers, single family is a very aggressive investment growth for cash flow, appreciation, tax benefits, stability, and total return, outpacing REITs, outpacing stocks and the stock market. But yet so many people are going to push you to the stock market. Why? Well, it's because they're managing your stocks for you. And so many people like to put money into the stocks for two reasons. One, they don't have to put a lot of time into it. Someone's managing it. And second of all, it's a little bit more liquidable. You could easily liquidate a stock and get that cash flow in. But sometimes what happens is if you're not careful, you know, something bad happens and you start, if you're not disciplined, you can start using money that you've got set aside for growth to cover, and then you never pay it back. So sometimes it's nice having that capital that's growing, compounding in an asset that's maybe not quite as liquid, but it's not pulling out of your emergency reserves. And so that's one thing that we always like to try to keep in mind. Building generational wealth. I mean, this is pretty simple. I mean, we've kind of bounced around and hit this topic just a few times. But again, it's just going to continue growing. And then if you've got a property that it's just high in value, but the cash flow doesn't make sense, meaning, for example, I try to sell any house that's over 225 in value. It makes no sense for me to have a house worth $300 and it's only renting for $1,500 a month. Because if I refinance that using it as a DSCR, I'm only able to pull out so much liquidity because of my debt coverage ratio, right? And so if I've got that much equity sitting, I might as well go and sell that, realize that equity, and then redeploy that equity into a new deal. You following me? So now that money is compounding and growing, and you could do it by doing 1031 exchanges so that you're not having to pay any of that capital gains tax. You're just deferring that tax, and you're allowing that money to grow and to build. And again, just another reason single family, building that portfolio growth is so helpful. Passive management. If you can get it off your plate and allow it to just go working for you, that is where you need to be at some point. That should be everybody's goal, is to be passive. And then legacy planning. You know, you're here, I believe, is this your daughter? No way. All right, well, I was thinking it was your daughter. It's your sister, you know, one of the two. But how amazing that you have your granddaughter here, learning at a young age. Soak it up, soak it in. I wish I knew this stuff at your age. And what it's doing is you're teaching this legacy, you're building this legacy. And we're not going to get in the weeds, but there's a lot of tax structure and different things that you can do by teaching her that would actually help you save money and help build her wealth, right? And again, we won't get into all that because that's really into the weeds and a lot deeper discussion. But there's ways that you can maximize and you can grow building a legacy with your children and your grandchildren that's going to sustain them and continue to grow. I used this verse earlier this morning. The Bible says a good man gives an inheritance to his grandchildren. So just constantly, you know, building for the future, building for that growth, and putting people in place that will help you achieve those goals. All right, so this is one of the investment opportunities that we have that would be a great opportunity for your IRA. I had several people come up to me afterwards asking me about this. We're buying 363 rental property portfolio, single family, next month, and still looking to raise around $5 million. We're buying these at 67 cents on the dollar. 70% of these homes are actually already rehabbed. We just had an opportunity to be able to come in and acquire these at a pretty massive discount. So there's equity growth. There's some rehab that needs to be done, but it's very, very minimal. And these properties are already cash flowing around $350,000 a month with the market rents continue to go up. And so this particular deal here is going to cash flow about 8-9% for the investors. It's going to give you a massive bonus depreciation. So if you guys need any write-offs this year, this would be a really good investment opportunity for you. And then, of course, the equity growth. So the idea is to hold on to these for 3 to 5 years and allow it to continue to appreciate and grow and build it. And then we'll exit that or just continue growing and performing kind of the Burr method is really one of the strategies that we do to help grow and build income. So this is one of the opportunities that we have. I would love for you to talk to our team. Our booth is in that corner back there. And I'd love to just walk you through the numbers and see if it makes sense for you. So how much time do we have? When does this end? Do you know? 1:30. Oh, my goodness. I still got 90 minutes. Okay, can you pull up 5 more presentations back there? No, I'm teasing. We went through this kind of quick. I go ahead. Got it. Okay, I was going to say, man, I didn't think I had that long. Perfect. Thank you for... Perfect. So I always like to end early, okay? So we got 13 minutes to 1 o'clock, so I'll be glad to take any questions right now.
Well, so you mentioned that if we had any write-offs or something, so if I'm using my self-directed IRA, how is that a write-off? Well, mine is a Roth, so...
So then you probably don't need a write-off then.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
yeah, if you had a traditional, you could do a backdoor conversion into your Roth. That's going to give you a tax event. And so then if you had a write-off to offset that tax event, then you'd be in the good.
How are these
write-offs? Yeah, so the government gives you bonus depreciation, allows you to depreciate the asset. And then now with the big, beautiful bill, you can now depreciate 100% in the first year. Yes, sir. Oh, I'm sorry.
How about UBIT taxes? Is that something that you would have to pay as an investor in this?
That's a really, really complex question. You would ask that question. No, I'll tease it. There are some potential UBIT factors in place. However, the simple answer is this. If you're investing in multiple properties and assets, the UBIT becomes less of a factor. UBIT comes into play when it's one big asset. Now, we've all heard that UBIT's this really scary thing, and to be honest, it's a really, really complex question, but the UBIT should not scare you, number one. Number two, the UBIT won't come into play as much with like this type of deal because of the different assets. And again, I'd rather talk to you more one-on-one on that and then also refer you to a couple IRA specialists. But thank you, that's a good question. Yes, sir. Correct. Yeah, so this is a LLC syndication. We aren't accepting 1031s into this. We don't have a DST set up for this. However, we are looking to put one together for a DST. So, yes, sir.
So I see you buying 100 houses in Cincinnati. So in 1 year time period, or what is the strategy to buy a house in Cincinnati? And if you need any help as a real estate agent to buy the property, I can help you.
Awesome, I appreciate that. What was the question about the Cincinnati? Yes, yeah, so the portfolio, it has 100 homes in it. So we're closing that next month. So we're buying them all at one time. Does that answer your question? Okay. Yes, ma'am.
What piece of advice would you give someone who is starting off as an investor and wanting to purchase single-family homes?
That's a great question. So I always follow that up with another question. What is your goal? Are you wanting to be active or passive?
Starting off active.
Okay.
I'm still fairly young.
Yeah, no, understand. Well, let me follow that with another question. Do you work a 9-to-5? Are you in like a really successful career, making really big money, and you're just wanting to invest? Or are you working a job that makes you money, but you want to do better for yourself, and so you want to get into real estate?
So I'm in a unique situation where this past summer I experienced my home burnt down.
Oh, no.
And I was super stressed out with my job. I've been in the insurance industry for over 17 years. And so I left it alone. So I'm currently unemployed.
Okay.
But I wanted to take this opportunity because I lost my home. I took it as an opportunity to just rebuild everything, not just my home, but just myself, because I'm an empty nester now. And I don't want to continue to do something that allowed me. I mean, I was able to raise my family with that career, so I'm grateful for it. But I don't necessarily have to do that now because they're out the house.
Sure.
So I'm just wanted to take this opportunity to just invest in myself and do what I love to do, which has always been real estate. So I do want to build my portfolio and have some single family homes. I do want to have a couple of flips, but I want to have some rentals as well. So I'm just trying to like just invest in myself and get started. I'm just starting, so I'm just in that era. Like I don't have a retirement, but I also don't want to. I don't want to go back to corporate.
Sure.
Like, to be
okay.
Honest, no, I don't want to go back.
Yeah. No. Thank you for letting me know that. I'm sorry to hear about your home. One last question. Are you where do you live? Cincinnati or?
I live in the Dayton area.
Dayton area. Okay. Great. Mm-hmm. So. Number one, if you're not already, you should get involved in the AREA group.
And just started.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. So surround yourself with people who can help you, guide you, give you advice. There's a safety in the multitude of counselors, right? So surround yourself with a good team. There's all different strategies. The way I got started was wholesaling. I wrote out hand-written letters. The true story. Had $20 to our name. and had bills. And my wife likes to claim that she's our first investor because it was her $20. And we wrote out 40 letters and went over to the post office, bought stamps, and I prayed over them. I was like, God, I need a deal. And 2 days later, I got a call. And it doesn't always work that smoothly because after that, I went through a drought of getting deals. So it can really test your faith for sure. But wholesaling is probably the easiest way to start off. Maybe finding a partner, somebody that can help you. Because at the end of the day, you got to find the asset first. And if you don't have capital to buy the asset, then lock it up and wholesale that contract. If you have the ability to get some capital to acquire the asset, still go to the RIA conference because you'll probably find a wholesaler there that's got a property that could help you acquire that. So there's a couple different strategies. I'd be more than happy to help dive in a little bit deeper based off your specific needs, and I can ask you a few more personal questions that could maybe help you. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for the presentation. I have a few follow-up questions. You talk about the, syndication. So this is a syndication, and usually different kinds of a level of investors that you are looking for. So number one question, does it require affluent investor or sophisticated investor? Number two, what's the minimum, that we need to put up?
Yeah, great question. Yeah, so it's for accredited investors. However, I could take a certain amount of sophisticated investors as well. The minimum is $25,000. Anybody? Yes, sir.
Do you have other funds that you're looking for investors in? Also, maybe the art syndications that accept 1031, like you sell individual homes that you get advantage?
We do, yes. So if you are in need of a 1031, we can actually sell you some properties that we'll manage turnkey and kind of treat it as a syndication itself, but it'd be separate. And then at some point, you could actually quit claim those properties into a fund and just take ownership of that fund and not experience any tax event because you're still owning those properties, just moving them into a different entity. So we could do that as well. Right now, between 8 and 10% annualized, yes, sir. And then there's equity growth and so forth. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, my name is Caitlin.
Hey, Caitlin.
So I'm starting out as well, but okay. I would like to be more passive. Do you have, like, top two strategies? I'm in my 30s.
Sure.
That I can maybe use or look into to get started?
Sure, absolutely. Can I ask you a personal question? Would you mind sharing?
Sure.
Okay. So I'm assuming you work a full-time job?
Yes.
Okay. And do you have an IRA or 401k?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. And so have you already opened up a self-directed?
I'm sorry.
Have you opened up a self-directed IRA?
Not yet.
Okay, so that would be one thing that I would look at is open up a self-directed. The one thing that you'll need to find out, though, is how much, if at all, your employer contribution would be able to be moved. It may only be what you've contributed, but I would first open up a self-directed and then move those funds over, and you can start investing with those funds, even if it's a small amount. And there's different strategies to do that. Do you have any personal savings that's liquid cash?
Yes.
Okay, so I would also look at maybe investing some of that as well. Oh, okay, sorry. And the strategy for that, it would be twofold. One, invest in a syndication like this, or maybe partner with somebody who would want to do the work active, and then you're just the money source, and you're lending them the money. So, for example, your name, ma'am? Kaiva. Did I say that right? So let's say she finds a property that she wants to buy, that she wants to rehab, but she doesn't have the money. And let's say you have 50 grand. You can lend the money to her and charge her an interest, and then you can secure your investment by putting a first lien position. And then now your investment's secure. She's got this house. And then once she's able to sell that house, she could pay off your loan. And now you just made a little bit of passive income without doing much of the work. So that's one strategy. The other strategy is, like I said, investing with like maybe a group like us to where you have ownership of that home. but you're not doing any of the work. So if that's something you're interested in, you can swing by our booth. We'd be glad to talk to you. Does that help you, Caitlin?
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. You're welcome. Anybody else? Not if it was with like Fidelity or Schwab or anything like that. You would have to invest in a self-directed that allows you to invest in alternative investments. What's up, Lloyd? He walked out. Anybody else? Any other questions? Hopefully this helps. All right. Thank you, guys.